Hey folks, we're here talking about the Kinect for Windows SDK 1.5 release. Some awesome stuff coming. Rob Rell, yay! Rob, why don't you introduce yourself? I know you've been on Channel 9 a lot, especially with the new Kinect SDKs. Kind of introduce yourself.
Sure. So I'm a program manager on the Kinect for Windows team. Real excited to be working on Kinect for about a year now. And we've got a great release for everybody today.
Yeah, so we always want to get right into it. So why don't you give us kind of the high-level overview? What's in the 1.5 release?
Sure. So we first released We first released Kinect for Windows 1.0 February 1st of this year. And with it, we introduced a new sensor, the Kinect for Windows sensor, and the SDK and runtime. At this time, we're releasing 1.5, a little less than 4 months later. And 1.5 doesn't include a new sensor. It does include new SDK and runtime. So lots of great goodness.
Software, not hardware.
Now, but for those people who want the hardware, we only released 12 countries back in February. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to 31 countries by June. So you can check out our blog post. There's another three countries today, another 16 countries next month.
Sweet.
So we're getting global.
Awesome. So what are some of the big things that people are going to look for in 1.5 in terms of features?
We've done a bunch of work in skeletal tracking. We've built a new developer toolkit. We've put all the samples in there, put some great new tools in there, and put some new technologies like face tracking. So great new face tracking technology new to our SDK.
Yeah, this is really awesome and definitely something that needs to see some demos. So, do you want to talk about Kinect Studio? Because this is definitely one of the things that people have been asking for.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you'll notice that most Kinect developers out there, they're pretty fit. They're the fittest developers out there because they have to stand up and dance.
Sure.
But we're making it now so that we have a tool called Kinect Studio where you can record your motions one time and stay seated and test and basically iterate to make sure. You're able to build great applications. Now, you can also go ahead and record people of different sizes and shapes and people in different situations and put them in your test lab and make sure your software is able to deal with those cases. And when you find a bad case, you just go ahead and record that and make sure you test and debug with it and then put it in your test suite after that.
Sweet. All right, we got to get into demos just because there's so much cool stuff to show off. So what are you going to show us first?
Well, first off, I just wanted to mention the 1.5 release is an in-place update. So it'll basically upgrade on top of 1.0, and it's in place, no breaking changes. Everything should work better.
Yes.
So everything should work, and it'll work better. I want to first just show some things about skeletal tracking. So I'll launch Kinect Explorer. You'll notice that a lot of our samples went through a lot of improvements in how they look. They look a lot more polished. And we have a lot more samples as well. So this is the new Kinect Explorer. The goal with Kinect Explorer is to show you a lot of the different features of the Kinect. I'll go ahead and play with Skeleton Stream here. We actually had a feature where if you turned on near mode in depth, which would go from 40 centimeters to 3 meters instead of 80 centimeters to 4 meters, skeletal tracking didn't work in 1.0. So we fixed that, so the skeletal tracking works in both near mode or normal depth mode.
Which is awesome.
Yes, so definitely, and also when we combine that with a new feature in skeletal tracking, and that feature is the ability to do seated tracking. So seated tracking does 10 joints instead of the 20 joints.
Right.
And it works better when you're seated, you don't need to see the waist as often, and it's easier to track in many different situations.
And so the reason I love this is because when you're talking about PC applications, it isn't about gaming and having to use your legs and moving around. You can imagine somebody just sitting at a desk and being able to use, say, their hands for navigation or those sort of swiping features in a PowerPoint without having to stand up, without having to get a distance, and you can be incredibly close when you're talking about near mode.
Right, absolutely. So seated mode and then basically skeletal tracking working in near mode were two major enhancements there in skeletal tracking. We also did some work on adding some new data to the skeleton about joint orientation. So I'm launching here a sample that shows up under samples C#. So here we have, actually it's tracking you.
It's tracking me. If you want me to.
I'll I'll get rid of you there. We have an avatar here. This is a sample written in C# and XNA, and it's able to, we're exposing not just the 20 joints or the 10 joints you're tracking, but also the orientation of that joint, so that avatiring scenarios can be made. And that opens up a lot of different scenarios.
This is awesome. Like, we should just take a second. So when we're talking about joint orientation, like, you can imagine the motorcycle game where you can see where the hands are going up, or how your hands are actually moving, if you could just kind of move it so people can see the difference in terms of, and you want to kick up a leg and see if, I don't know if we have full legs.
Yeah, my feet are a little cut off here, but it's doing a decent job.
Which you can see there. So this is awesome. Yeah, I love this. And again, it's an open source sample.
Yeah, so the sample is shipping in our dev toolkit, which I'll talk about in a minute. And it has a bunch of extra code in there that also does things with the skeleton and looks for bad cases of the skeleton and basically does some constraining of things. And so there's interesting code in there, even if you're not going to do an avatiring scenario.
So for people that are used to programming where they would sign up for a skeleton stream event and they'd get skeleton data, what event is, are they signing up for a new event? So from a programming model perspective, there was...
In the programming model, it's still the skeleton frame you're going to go get the data off of. And
is the data different that comes back, or how does that
basically
work?
We've got some properties and some methods exposed and native and managed that when you want to have the joint orientation calculated, it's a pay for play. It'll go spend the time calculating that if you ask for it to be.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. So before you'd say have a joint and you'd know that it was, I think, like a wrist joint, for example, and now you can actually say get angle for that, pass in a specific joint, and then it'll get it?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Perfect.
And if you take a look at the sample, that sample I just ran there is the avatiring sample under sample C#.
Perfect.
This is a refreshed version of our sample browser. We call it the toolkit browser, and I'm looking at all the samples in C# right now.
Sweet.
So I mentioned face tracking before. Let's go ahead and do a little face tracking. So face tracking is...
And you need me to... Or actually, let me move this over here.
Okay,
just
sure.
Simplicity.
Great. So face tracking is our first feature that we've, it's basically an early technology we're shipping in our developer toolkit. This doesn't ship in our runtime, but it ships in our dev toolkit. So we're taking our samples, our tools, and great new technologies like face tracking and putting them in our developer toolkit. It's developer toolkit 1.5.0, and we plan on releasing a 1.5.1, and we don't need to come up with a new runtime in order to go ahead and iterate on our samples, tools.
The idea behind that is because the runtime doesn't change. We have all this connect data. These are just applications or ways to use that data, implementations of using that data.
Right. So let's go ahead and look at this sample here. You'll notice that on the left of the sample, we have a face. It can tell where my eyebrows are. Not great because I've got glasses on. It also can tell the shape of my mouth. You'll notice we have a face mesh. We understand where the face is located and where it's oriented as well. We've got a face mesh with, I think, 71 vertices or 70-ish vertices.
That's awesome.
And you can see we can track the shape of the mouth and the eyes and things like that. So there's different ways that you can tie this into Connect. This sample happens to use skeletal tracking to find the head joint, then uses depth to go ahead and find out information and color as well. Sometimes you don't need to use ST as well. You'll just use depth and color, et cetera. But lots of great uses here. There's four demos, actually. Two of them are C++, the face tracking visualization there under sample C++, and then sample C# has two face tracking demos as well, in WPF 3D and WPF 2D.
Awesome.
So lots of great stuff. We'd love to see what you guys do with face tracking. The next thing I want to do, actually, with that same sample, let's go ahead and record. This time, how about, Dan, we record you doing a little face tracking. So we're going to launch Connect Studio. There we go. We've got you. Let me move some things. I launched Connect Studio, and you can imagine Connect Studio is like a debugger. Mm-hmm. Much like I'd use Visual Studio, and I can either launch an application or I can attach to an existing application. Here we use the attachment model. So you launch Connect Studio, have your app running ahead of time, or run it whenever, and then you basically refresh. You see the list of all those people that are using the Connect runtime at that time. You can go ahead and connect to that that application. And at that point, we're able to go ahead and see in a color viewer, a depth viewer, and a 3D viewer what the Connect is seeing.
Right.
And we can go ahead and record. So let's take a look at this app now. Why don't you go ahead and do some face tracking? There we go.
See the moving?
And I'll stop that now. I'll turn on loop.
I'm having too much fun here.
Yeah, I'll turn on loop, and then we can go ahead and relive that moment over and over again. Now, your application can go ahead and say, oh, well, hey, I lost the face here, or, oh, my application didn't do well there.
Right.
We play it over and over again and fix that. And you can save files from face tracking. Of course, I need to save this file, post this somewhere, of course. So we'll save this as a Z file, and we can go ahead and open that up and replay it.
So in terms of, we have this file, I have my application. How do I play this back from my application? So for example, I have an application that I want to see when a user's hand hovers or enters some box,
sure,
some hitbox, if you will.
So you can record it record the sensor data with any application you want. So we just were running face tracking visualization.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'm going to go ahead and run Connect Explorer. I'll attach to the current Connect Explorer application and press play here. This is the application that says play an application. As long as I have that turned on, I can go ahead and play it, and now we can relive your face tracking. Now, face tracking is not working here because
there is no face tracking.
This application is choosing not to analyze the depth and color and skeletal for face tracking.
Right. The point is you record however much data you want, and then you can play it back in any application.
Right. Exactly.
Cool.
So so Connect Studio is gonna really help people develop and test their applications a lot better. So I wanted to show some things that work pretty well in V1. But we didn't have samples for them. So green screen WPF is an example of a green screen application. Let me take this back, move the sensor over. And as you notice here, we're able to go ahead and do background removal. So we get a color feed, a depth feed, and we do a great job of allowing you to remove the background and put your own background there if you like.
And the idea, this is the weatherman, for example.
Yes, you could absolutely do
whatever
weatherman
you need.
And we've done a bunch of work on the scenario. First of all, we've built a sample now for it. We've shipped the sample in both C++ using Direct2D and in WPF and C#. We've done a bunch of work to make this scenario work better. The synchronization, if you tried the same code over in 1.0, it would work. Mm-hmm. The synchronization, though, between the color and depth frames wasn't great. So we now take advantage. We basically sit there and watch the color and depth frame, which are both usually going 30 frames a second. Sometimes color can be different.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch them, and we make sure that they're synchronized as close together as possible. And we'll nudge the frame timing a little bit to get in sync when they drift out of sync.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
So that's going to mean as you're moving like this, you're always going to see color well synced with the depth movement.
Yeah, sometimes in terms of previous versions, fast movements were tricky, for lack of a better word.
Right, exactly. Now, we're also doing work to make it so that the full frame API we had to translate the depth color values into where do they map in the color value. Basically, how do I color this depth pixel that is my elbow? What color should I color it? We did work in 1.0 to make it pretty fast. It was 10 milliseconds, and we were very happy because you could do the whole frame at one time. It would take about 10 milliseconds. Which was much better than before when you had to do one pixel at a time and do the whole frame. We've done lots of great perf work in 1.5 so that now that 10 milliseconds time will now take 2.5 milliseconds. So if you're doing 30 frames a second, 33 milliseconds per frame, we're only taking 2.5 milliseconds.
Which is awesome.
And you get the data and you can go ahead and do great stuff on top of that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the key is for developers, the programming model doesn't change. It just happens to get a lot faster.
Right. So two other cool demos that we did that
and
tie
more
into
synchronized.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Two other demos that tie into that are Depth D3D. So this is a DirectX, a Direct3D demo. And this is using depth data, a little bit of skeleton. I'm tracked here, so I'm yellow. And I'll go ahead and zoom in, but this is basically a 3D visualization, a point cloud type visualization.
So now we're kind of rotating here.
I can rotate through, I can zoom in.
I see that, and another person.
And I can zoom out and I can turn in. So I can build these great 3D models and visualize those things. We also have a depth with color D3D that takes the color and the depth and does the same visualization and the same steering. So we can go ahead and zoom in on us. Turn,
whoa.
Look behind my back, etc. So, lots of great
fun.
Stuff
so much
for people
fun.
To go take this, put it into your app, and do even greater things. One of the other things we've done there that I forgot to mention, the color feed itself. We're making the color feed itself look better. We've improved the color recipe on the Connect for Windows sensor.
And that is hardware specific.
Yeah.
Right.
That's going to improve for Kinect for Windows Sensor only.
Okay.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that we've also done some work in audio and speech. Wanted to go ahead and launch an application called Speech Basics. You see we have a grammar at the bottom. We can say forward, turn left, turn right. And you've got a little turtle game where you can now say back. There we go. And it doesn't detect other words, hopefully, as well. So this is, once again, using the great microphone array we have built into the Kinect for Windows Sensor, taking that great feed, sending it to speech APIs, where you're able to have grammars that are defined in code or in XML, mm-hmm. and building a great solution. Now, one of the things in 1.0 that we couldn't get, we were only able to spend enough time to get English, United States English, going for the speech recognition language packs.
Right.
And as you see now, when you launch, and once again, you install the SDK, you also install the developer toolkit. In the developer toolkit, under components, we'll list a link here to the Kinect speech language packs. We've added a bunch of varieties of English Australian, Canadian, Great Britain, Irish, New Zealand. We've added Spanish, Mexican, and Spanish, and French, Italian, Japanese. So about 13 different locale language combinations.
Yeah.
And so people can go take these samples and build great voice-enabled applications.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. So where do people get started and where do they download stuff?
Yeah, so connectforwindows.com will take you to our site. Is our site, and you'll be able to download 1.5, download the SDK, download the developer toolkit, and go ahead and get started.
All right, there's a lot of stuff to play with. Rob, thank you for your time. This is pretty sweet.
Okay.
And thank you. Send us your questions. Bye.